Zone Podcast with Deremy and Jose. I'm Deremy, and I'm joined by the one and only Jose Ruiz. What's going on, man?
What's up, brother? How you doing, Deremy?
I'm doing good. I'm once again pumped for this show, and I'm excited to show off that versatility we've been talking about so much recently.
Yeah, I'm excited too. It's a nasty, rainy night. It's a perfect night to knock this podcast out.
It kind of is. It is. It's really just. It was. They called for it to be nasty, but it's nastier than I thought it was. I'm like, man, I just kind of put me in the mood for movie watching and talking podcasts with my man Jose. So, and we're kind of bringing those worlds together once again, you know, for this episode.
Yeah, I mean, it's this rain is a perfect ending to a very long day. I had a long day.
Same here. I understand. And, you know, just wanted to say, because we got a lot of good feedback from our top five favorite Will Ferrell movies. And I'll be honest, I don't know about you. I've heard split. I've heard some people, you know, talk to me and, you know, agree with you and think I'm crazy for, you know, putting Step Brothers so low. But I have heard people say they agree with me that Step Brothers is overrated. So it's a split kind of feedback so far.
Yeah, I didn't get that split. A lot of people I talked to were like, no, that's an all-time classic. And
oof.
And again, it's I got the one person who agrees with you, and her vote don't count.
Well, I'll give a shout out to my man, Steve Callahan. He's movie guy as well. And, you know, he called me. We talked on the phone earlier this week and was like, nah, you're not crazy at all. Step Brothers is, you know. He's like, it wouldn't even make my list. I was like, okay, good. I'm like, see? So I hear you. And shout out to Shannon as well. Shannon got my back.
Yeah, again, I think that just speaks to the level of maturity in some folks. And I'm a very immature dude, as you'll see with my next list.
Okay. So I'm kind of in the same boat, especially with this list. And we're doing our top five favorite Judd Apatow movies. And Jose, now you were the one who suggested Will Ferrell a couple weeks ago. What were you thinking? Be honest, when I threw out to you top five favorite Judd Apatow movies.
First of all, I had to look up who that was, right? And because once I did, I was like, oh, like what am I doing? Like, you know what I mean? Like, like this dude is an amazing, amazing director. And but again, like I had to kind of like double check and look at the list, right, and see what movies they were. And once I started seeing the movies, I was like, yeah, this is going to be a tough list, but a real fun list to talk about. But then some of these actors that are in his movies, like a lot of people love these guys, and we'll talk. I'll talk about them. I'll throw some names out there, but like me, I don't know. Like it's. Some of these actors are amazing, funny comedians, but I have like one person in mind that a lot of people love, and I'm not his biggest fan, but he's all right, but I'm not his biggest fan.
Okay. No, and I knew, because some people, you know, and for those wondering, this is not just the movies he directed, it's directed, produced, wrote, kind of that, all three of them for Judd Apatow. And I kind of always find Judd Apatow interesting because he kind of has that in a way, like kind of like this is how we're going to connect the sports to, you know, now, like how Bill Belichick's story is interesting because his dad was a scout for the Navy, and Bill Belichick kind of, you know, saw Roger Staubach as a kid, quarterback for the Navy and win the Heisman. And then Bill Belichick kind of works, you know, in the 70s for some teams, and then you kind of go to the Giants. And like Bill Belichick, as great as he is, he's kind of got like a Forrest Gump kind of like football life. You know, that's why he was perfect to host that top 100 list, because he's connected to so many. Judd Apatow in the world of like comedy kind of has the same thing. And that's kind of why I wanted to go into it, because he's fascinating. From as a kid, his mom worked at a comedy club, and he loved comedy, so he got to go and interview a lot of legendary comics before they were famous. You know, like there's, he kind of was podcast. He was like a predecessor for podcasts, and there's clips, and he has the tape still of him interviewing Jerry Seinfeld 10 years before Seinfeld came out, and Gary Shandling. And, you know, he would just call them up and say, I'm doing this, you know, a little radio show. Can I, you know, interview you? And then they would. And it's really fascinating. He kind of put it all in a book called Sick in the Head. Then he wrote for Roseanne, you know, and has stories there, and wrote for Gary Shandling. And then he was roommates with Adam Sandler. It's just crazy. Worked with Ben Stiller when he was younger, and then made all these movies. He's really kind of half that. Other than like Lorne Michaels with SNL, I don't know anyone else in comedy who can kind of have the kind of Forrest Gump like career that he has.
Yeah, he's got quite a resume for sure. And the Forrest Gump thing is funny because you look at him and it's just like, he looks like a, no offense, like I'm not, you know what I mean? But he just looks like a goofy dude, like a funny dude. And, you know, the resume, for to be honest, the resume speaks for itself, you know. And once you look at the list of movies, it's like, wow, like, and you mentioned some Gary Shandling, like those are like all time greats, you know. And to be able to have that stating that, you know, you wrote for these guys, Roseanne, that was an amazing show, you know. And I mean, not just the show, but just Roseanne in general. She's a little nuts, but, you know, to have that under your belt as well, it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. So was your, be honest, was it pretty cut and dry for you to come up with your list, or was it a tough?
Oh, no, it was tough. It was extremely tough because, you know, some of his movies are a little older, but they're like some of my all time favorite movies as well. And then I didn't want to, we did the Will Ferrell list. I wanted, like, it's as easy for me to throw those movies in there too. I kind of wanted, I didn't do that. I left one on there on my list. But I didn't want to just continue to harp on Will Ferrell stuff. So, even though the movies he had on there were great, but again, like it was a really tough list. And the variety of like the movies were amazing too. And it's just like some of these movies are the movies that we talked about, and what we talked about our list with Will Ferrell is just like when it's on, I don't care what I'm doing, I can just sit there and just throw it on and leave it on, and I'm just gonna laugh every time.
Right. Absolutely. And yeah, that's true. He's a big part of Will Ferrell's rise in movies. And with Ferrell, and you know, and vice versa,
yeah.
Ferrell and McKay helped him too. But I'll be honest, it was easy for me to leave Ferrell off of this list. Those Will Ferrell movies,
I can see that, I would not have a beef with that, you know. But yeah. Just I couldn't leave one of them off. One of them I had to be on here for me. But I only have one, so again, that speaks to these movies.
All right, so you want to kick off? We'll go out 5-1. So do you want to kick off with your number five favorite Judd Apatow movie?
Yeah, this one for me, it's again, it's one of my like all time like classic movies, and you know it has probably one of my favorite actor, comedians, whatever you want to call them, in Jim Carrey, and it's Liar. Liar, Liar is my number five. I love this movie. It's just the premise, the concept of the movie of, you know, if you haven't seen this, obviously it's Liar, and you know, Jim Carrey's son, he has a birthday party, and you know, the son wishes, you know, he blows out his candle, he wishes that his dad cannot tell any more lies. And you know, the next day Jim Carrey wakes up and he's incapable of telling a lie. And you know, it's just throughout the movie, he finds himself in all types of shit. And just because he has to tell the truth, he's an attorney, so he's in court, and you know, he can't tell a lie, like, you know. And it's just Jim Carrey's the shit. Like, I don't care. I don't know, a lot of people can't stomach him. But I like him. I really like him. I've liked a lot of his stuff, and for a long time, I can remember him and, you know, in Living Color, you know what I mean? Like, and mm-hmm. And on that show, he was the only white dude on that show. And I think for me, that says a lot too, you know, like he made it on that show, and that was an amazing, you know, talented cast on that show as well. And, you know, I in another movie, you know, I'm going to talk about later, but I just, for me, this movie is, it's, it's again one of those TBS movies. We were talking about this during our Will Ferrell episode. Like, it's one of those TBS TNT movies that it's always on. It used to be always on. I don't see it as much anymore, but
yeah, same yeah. Here.
But I would flip through and I would see it. I'm like, oh, you know, liar, liar. This is the court scene where he's like, or the bathroom scene where he's beating himself up to kind of get out of the case, or you know, or get the case postponed or whatever it was. And I don't know. Again, this is one of my, and again, this is our favorite. This isn't like, you know, to be honest, I'm sure this probably won't make a lot of people's list, but Liar Liar for me, it's how I kick it off with number 5.
Okay, no, I like Liar Liar. It's on my honorable mention. It's not on my top 5, but I do like Liar Liar. I think Jim Carrey is, there's some comic, like comedians and, you know, people who are just, they're in their own like box. Like, there's, you can't like emulate, and you can't say, it's just really hard to, you know, you can't compare Jim Carrey really to anybody, in my opinion. And I think he's had a long career, but I think there was a time, you know, there's a time from the mid to late 90s, there's like Jim Carrey's golden era of his career. And I think Liar Liar is the most like overlooked movie of that golden era. I think it's and for me, as far as like the best overall movie, maybe not the funniest, but like the best movie of like that time for Jim Carrey is Liar Liar. Like Ace Ventura, he's funny, Dumb and Dumber, but they're goofy. You know, they're goofy kind of movies, but like overall as a movie, like Liar Liar, and like The Truman Show are like two like his better performances in that era. So I like that. Not bad. No, it's on my, that's an honorable mention.
Yeah, because you even saw a glimpse of like the serious Jim Carrey actor in this.
Right.
And he did a good job with that. You know, I felt like he did a good job with that. And, you know, later, I mean, he tailed off in the 2000s a little bit. And again, I just think that that's from like, you know, the type of comedian he is, the crazy, like, you know, the loud. I just think once you get a little older, you know, that you can't continue that type of career. I don't think, you know, for 20, 30 years, like something's got to change. And he made the change. And, you know, I can remember watching, I think it was 13. I think the movie was called, where he was seen 13 everywhere. Like, or I'm trying to remember. I think that's the name, or 23, something like that. And that was a straight serious role. Like, and he did a good job with that too. But yeah, Liar Liar, I love that movie, man.
Okay. All right. Not bad.
Thank you.
Not bad. I, you know, after the Will Ferrell episode, I don't know. I didn't know what I was getting. I kind of did, but I kind of figured, I'm like, you're going to go older part of what Judd Apatow did. That's just a gut instinct. But I like that. But number 5 for me, I'm going to go with Knocked Up.
Go ahead.
And
right from the jump, but I knew it. I knew that was going to happen, but go ahead.
Of course, you know, and I'll show you why you're wrong in a minute, but it's just that Knocked Up to me, it was a great follow-up to the 40-year-old version as far as Judd Apatow directing. It's a movie that, let's be honest, when it comes to it, going into that movie, I didn't really know. I know Seth Rogen as like a supporting guy in 40-year-old Virgin, and I watched Freaks and Geeks, we talk about that after the countdown. But like, you know, it wasn't a lot of like great cast to me. Like people like, oh yeah, like who drew me into it, and the title of it kind of was like knocked up. Like, all right, whatever. I mean, Paul Rudd is in a supporting role.
I do too. I like Paul Rudd a lot.
I love Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd's maybe my favorite comedic actor, right? Like he's
just like a dude that I can hang. I know I can hang out with that type, like with him. Like he's like a dude that I know. Like he was in Philly, you know, when all this was going on politically, giving out cookies or whatever he was doing out there. It was pretty cool.
No, Paul Rudd is, and he had me drawn to it, and I thought he was great in this role too, but. It's one of those ones, and I am someone who it doesn't mean the whole thing, but I'll give, like, it's an extra bump when everything kind of goes against it. Like, the title, the trailer didn't really get me going, like, oh, it's so funny. I was all the billboards everywhere, and I was like, well, this kind of seems, like, weird. And I really saw it out of, like, an improv last double date, you know, with, you know, the guy who helped us with the show, Tim, this is years ago, we went two girls to movie theater to see
shout
it.
Out to and Tim.
Shout out to Tim. And outside of and The Hangover came out a couple years later. Outside of The Hangover, one of the better movie experiences ever, where I was surprised on how much I'm laughing. And this movie, to me, really cements that Apatow, where it's these, he does a good job, because we're saying it now, like we talk about like that immaturity where we're men and we're trying to figure out life and be men. But when guys get together, how we think and also kind of what we say is that immature, still like high school kind of stuff. Like, you know, you'd be like, you think some high school guys would say, like, we still kind of have that humor at heart, especially when you're with people you know very well, other guys you know very well, and click. And this movie kind of cemented, you know, at the time I didn't know a 40-year-old version like a one-trick pony, but it kind of cemented that style that would to me be an Apatow style of a lot of heart and a lot of like realness of like how a lot of guys feel, a lot of guys, but like it's still like it's not a softy movie. It's still like the humor is the humor that you would hear how guys talk and how guys are with each other. And I thought Knocked Up does a very good job of that. Not the best, but this kind of cemented. And for me, Jose, after seeing Knocked Up and the success from it, that's when Judd Apatow became a name to me, where I'm like, let me learn more about him and let me see, like, who is this guy? Like, even with 40-year-old Virgin, I was more like went to like Steve Carell and, you know, other people in the movie. Knocked Up made me look at him and I was like, these movies are different. Let me go follow him and let me learn more about him. So that's why for me, number five is Knocked
Up. All right. It's not bad. It made my honorable mentions because Seth Rogen, it's.
I knew that was the actor too.
Like, I like him in a supporting role. Like, you know, some of these other movies he's in that I have on my list, and I think he does a good job, you know, in the scenes that he's in. I can only take, I think, so much of him. I don't know. He's funny at times. And in Knocked Up, he did a good job playing, like, the average dude, like, freaking out about, you know, about to have a kid. And because and a lot of these movies do speak to me, like, and what happened for me in the experiences I've had in my life. And when, you know, when watching this knock, it was just really funny. Like, cause I can remember when I found out that I was going to have a son, I was 24 years old and I thought I was, you know, I was like, I'm going to be fine. And I was freaking the hell out. And it was just like, and you're right. You're exactly right. Like the scenes where it's just him and his buddies and they're just talking shit, like, you know, and doing some other stuff. And it's just like a normal, that I consider normal, like male bonding. I just, not to sound like that, but just, it was just like an average guy. And I just, he did a good job in this movie with that. But I don't know. Like, I know people love Seth Rogen. And like I said, I know he can be funny. I'm not his biggest fan. I'm not saying he's terrible. I'm just not his biggest fan.
I like Seth Rogen. I like, cause he's very talented. He's shown he can do the writing and producing.
I give him that. I give him that screen. Too. Yeah, for sure.
Seth Rogen to me is not the most talented. I think Seth Rogen is a funny mind. I think Seth Rogen, and I think Knocked Up, I think not the first movie, but 40-year-old version showed that, but Knocked Up showed it as well. And I don't think you're wrong where I think he's better supporting than being the lead guy. But I think he's in certain movies, including this one, I liked him as a lead, as a co-lead, because I think he's not going to carry a cast to me.
Me neither.
He needs the other talented people around him. And I think that's another thing with this movie. This movie brought either as a reminder for some people, but back into play, like Jonah Hill, this is where I first saw Jonah Hill, was Knocked Up. And he just jumped out the screen to me. And then Jason Segel and Martin Starr and Jay Baruchel. I remember, I watched
it, was those, a good,
you know,
crew,
those little, yeah, those little Freaks and Geeks and the other show that he did, Fox with Jay Baruchel, I forget, and Seth Rogen and Kevin Hart was on it. I'm forgetting the name right now, but I'll get it later. But it was good to see those guys, and that kind of brought them back in the memory, and like I said, brought Jonah Hill, like, boom, into my face, like he's a star to me. Like, you got to use him more. And we'll get to it later, but like, the, you know, Apatow and these guys did use him more. But that's why I also liked it, because it was different than the 40-year-old virgin in a way to me than, like, I don't know, the supporting lines and, like, the way these guys interact. It was the movie's not better, but it was a better, like, supporting cast in a way for me than the 40-year-old virgin. So I and that could be
I agree.
Supporting cast, you know, I like these guys, and that's kind of what hit me. So that's why that's my number
okay.
five.
Okay. It's all right. It's all right. It's not terrible. I'll say that. So my number four is Step Brothers on this list. And I can get into it if you want me to, but you know, if you want to check the archives, you know how I feel about this movie. I mean, this is an all-time classic. This is one of the best comedy movies of all time. I mean, I'm just going to give it all type of adjectives, but again, if you're the immature, in my case, 41-year-old or whatever, but you know, this is the movie for you. Like, these are movies for guys who are, I think, are like big ass kids. You know what I mean? And that's exactly what this movie was. There were just two grown men who were some big ass kids, and you know, it was just all right. I'm going to get into it. So it was like some of these parts in this movie were it just like the. And I mentioned it again in our episode with Will Ferrell movies. It was just like, you know, like when they went on the interview together and they tuxedos and I just start laughing when I start thinking about it, because it's, I don't know. I love this movie when they were talking to the, you know, human resource lady, and like, it's just, it was great. And, you know, the nuts on the drum set and licking white dog shit, and you can go on and on, boats and hoes, like you mentioned in our last in Will Ferrell episode, and you know, you can go on and on with scenes from this movie. And I guess I do get it, like, because again, I just think it shows my immaturity, but it was hard for me to put this at four, but again, I just didn't want to beat a dead horse.
But you want to put it higher?
Kind of. I could have put it maybe like one more up. Maybe. It was tough.
I mean, I think with this list,
I think four is good for it. But again, all-time classic.
Oof. You know how I feel. I don't think it's an all-time classic. I think I don't know. I just think there's a lot of it's just comedy movies that are just done better. I get it. It has a lot of scenes. It has some scenes, some. And by the way, real quick, Undeclared is the five.
I was trying to think of it too, and I couldn't get it.
I actually liked it. I watched both of those shows when they were on. But don't get me wrong. Even after we've done this, it's not one of those ones where I'm like, how do people like it? Like, I do get it. I just don't think it's great. Like, if it had like a cult following kind of thing, fine. But I think when people are like, it's so great and it's classic, and that's where I'm like, I don't see it. But like, it's not a bad movie at all. Like, I don't think it's bad. But I don't know. I that's just for me. I don't think it's a classic film. Or a classic comedy, or for Will Ferrell, or for John C. Reilly, honestly.
I mean, I know how you feel, and I think the listeners know how you feel about it from our, you know, from that Will Ferrell episode. But again, it's going to make my list. It is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay, not bad. I hear you. I respect it. You came with it. For me, I'm going to go with a movie, like I said, that came out the same time.
I think I know what it is. Well, go ahead.
But it's the movie that I thought was better in the summer of 2008 than Step Brothers, and it's my number four, and it's Pineapple Express. I know we talked about your Seth Rogen, and I can see why not being the biggest fan. But I am a fan. I don't think he's the funniest of this whole Apatow crew, or the most talented as far as on screen. But I think he does a great job of playing off of others. He's a great collaborator off screen and on screen. And to me, it shows in this. I think this movie really hit home to me because I knew what this was about, like a stoner kind of, they're trying to like escape stuff. And when I saw, you know, they were on this run, you know, these comedy movies, and it's like Seth Rogen and then James Franco. And I'm like, James Franco being opposite. I was like, I can't see James Franco being funny. Like, I just thought like, this is not going to work. And I couldn't have been.
Yeah, he's just, James Franco
killed it. Killed it. I think that's where Seth Rogen's great. Also, he's great as like a straight man, which is, I think, in comedy, like people always and even still downplay how important and how tough that part can be and how needed it is to be a straight man. And I think, and do it well. And I think Seth Rogen does it well. And I think he does it great in this movie, where Franco has a lot of the great lines. And same with Danny McBride. This is also where Danny McBride jumped out to me. And Danny McBride has been hilarious to me in the past, you know, 12, 15 years, from movies like this to, you know, Eastbound and Down and different things he's done. I've loved Danny McBride. And Danny McBride as Red just kills it. But the Rogan Franco kind of like buddy like pairing was just hilarious to me. And it's the different parts that they're going throughout. And honestly, even with Rogan dating that high school girl and then winding up kind of being, you know, and you know, for dinner, and then Ed Begley Jr. as the dad, you know, all these drug lords are after him and he winds up like shooting at him and they're just kind of going on a run. I thought it was just hilarious. And even Gary Cole as Ted. Ted's crazy. You know, Craig Robinson cracks me up in this movie. His interactions with, you know, as the hitman and with Kevin Corrigan, shout out for Kevin Corrigan and Grounded for Life, underrated sitcom. But those two together were great. And I thought it was just a really good, just kind of combo. And I think it's just one of those movies that is a cult kind of thing.
It definitely is.
It's a surprise with the, you know, seeing Franco's comedic talent, I didn't think he had that in him, and just kind of being on the run and like the mishaps and just that stoner movie that you think like, all right, you've seen it time and time again, you know, throughout the years, but they did a good job of kind of reinventing it a little bit, but still just nailing those parts. And sometimes you don't have to reinvent the wheel too much for it to be a good movie. And I feel like Pineapple Express kind of hits it for that. So that's why it's my number four.
Okay. That was a good argument. I'll give you that. But I never liked that movie. I don't know why. I really, to be honest, I never really gave it a shot. You know, I tried a couple times to watch it. You know, I watched the movie, but, you know, the first couple times, I don't know. I love James Franco. That James Franco is a funny dude to me, man. He's a funny dude. I like James Franco. I like a lot of other stuff that he's in, but I don't know. This movie didn't do it for me. Not even a little bit, to be honest.
I hear you. And hey, that Step Brothers was very similar for me in that realm. Just doesn't do it. But I think this is a really underrated, doesn't get enough attention on how.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that love this movie though. That's why we talked about that cult following. Like, I can agree with that because I know there's a lot of people who really love this movie. I'm just not one of them.
Absolutely. I hear you. So what's your
this is number three.
This number three is one that could have been swapped with Step Brothers.
But, you know, doing this list again, like, this is another one of those, like, I think all of these movies, to be honest, probably for yourself as well, like, you know, when they're on, it's just like, we're just going to watch it. It's like, you know, it's like Gladiator or something like that. Like, when Gladiator is on, I don't give a shit what I'm doing. I don't care if I'm watching the game or whatever it is. I'm going to keep flipping back to Gladiator. That's the movie right there. But anyway, so my number three pick, I'm going to go back to Jim Carrey again. My love for Jim Carrey it shows on this list, and I'm going to go with Cable Guy. That's one of, again, you talked about his performances in that, you know, mid-90s, early 2000 range. I think, you know, we just talked about Liar, Liar. I think Cable Guy, I'm not going to say is his best because I feel like, what's the name of that? I'm drawing a blank here, but Ace Ventura. I think I love Ace Ventura movies, like both of them. I think those were some funny ass movies, right? But Cable Guy for me, I don't know. It was just the story was great. I love his character and his my man Chip Douglas. You know, Matthew Broderick, he was okay in this, but I just felt like Jim Carrey carried his ass. And but it was just, again, and you see, and what I love about all these movies, it kind of has I don't want to say it has like the same characters in it. You know what I mean? Like one of my favorite actresses, Leslie Mann, is in this. Like Jack Black has, you know, it's just Jim Carrey. No, not he's Matthew Broderick's homie. And it's just, I don't know. I just like the premise. Like some of the scenes on this for me were scenes that I'm not going to forget. Like when they did the medieval times dinner and they they go on to the stage and have like the jousting war and all that shit. Like Andy Dick was in the restaurant. Like it was just great, man. It just, I don't know. Again, Cable Guy for me, it's got to be on this list.
Well, interesting.
That's my girl right there.
A lot too. Leslie Mann is
that's
Judd Apatow's wife, and they met on the set of Cable.
That's why it's got to be on the list.
It could give a good shout out because I love Leslie Mann. I'm with you. Leslie Mann's very good. I'm a big Judd Apatow fan. I love that union, but Cable Guy, honestly, I'll be real with you. It's the first time because Jim Carrey was like growing up seeing Jim Carrey from In Living Color to Ace Ventura to The Mask to everything.
Man, The Mask, doing, I forgot about The
Dumb
Mask.
And Dumber. I'm like, this guy can do it. You're right, Ace Ventura. I think Ace Ventura 2
agree
might
with
be
that.
Better than
I
one.
I agree with that.
You know, I think 2 is even funnier, and 1's great. But I agree. 2 might be better. Cable Guy was my first time being like, okay. Jim Carrey, he's back to reality. You know, he's on this. He's hitting threes. He's getting every green light. The Cable Guy was like, oh, he's got a red light, which isn't bad. You can't hit all home runs, but the Cable Guy, I think it got slammed back then, and I think people have looked at it and said like it didn't deserve. I think because he was so huge, and it wasn't that great of a movie and.
No, it was a good movie. I mean,
but
it did okay in the box office. You know what I mean? I think it did over $100 million. I don't know. I think that's pretty good.
It's not it did okay, but I mean, it got critically slammed.
I don't listen to that stuff.
And it didn't kill it. I do at times because I think sometimes you're right. I always do it every time, but sometimes. You know, you look at it, Jim Carrey was on a roll. He was like in 96, Jim Carrey, as far as comedic actors, he's the man at that point. And he has Matthew Broderick in it too, is what like so I think it got attention, but it kinda like people were like I think people did even like fans were like kinda like, all right, hold your horses a little bit on it. And then he did bounce back.
Yeah, Matthew Broderick, I did not I did not like him in this movie. He's too dry. You know, like he's trying to be funny in this, and it's funny because there was some parts where, like, his character was kind of like that dry, like kind of, you know, whatever type of person, and you know that he would try to be funny like with his character, and even in the movie, it was just like, you're not a funny person, like you know what I mean, like just stop. And I don't know, I think he did not do a good job in this movie. I just think, you know. Some of the scenes in Cable Guy were really, for me, really, really funny. I don't know. I think I really like this movie. Jim.
I think it was just kind of, it's a darker comedy. And I think if you know that going in, I still don't think it's great, but okay. But you didn't really know what you were getting with it. And even still to me, it's Jim Carrey's playing kind of a weird, dark and twisted kind of a guy. Which, as we've seen later, okay. So I think, like, hindsight 2020, it's not as bad as people. Like, it got, like, slammed by people. People were expecting more. But it's not bad. It didn't deserve that. But it's not a great one for me for Jim Carrey. It's okay. It's okay, but it's not.
Chip
not
Douglas, great. Man. Chip Douglas.
I... I'll tell you what I love. The funny part, when he was like in the bathroom,
yeah,
beating up like Owen Wilson, yeah, and like putting his face everywhere. And I forget, I think it was an interview with Judd Apatow, and he saw Owen Wilson because he was a producer, but yeah, wasn't Judd Apatow like he is now. And years later, he saw Owen Wilson, and Jim Carrey kind of was like being pretty rough with Owen Wilson in that scene and like trying to step it up. So Judd Apatow brought it up and was like, was he kind of rough with you? And Owen Wilson's like, yeah, he was. And Judd Apatow starts like laughing. He's like, oh yeah, I thought so. That was crazy. That was hilarious. And Owen Wilson, it was like years later, yeah, he's like, I didn't really find it too funny. He kind of got awkward. And Judd Apatow's like, oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That happened to you. So there's a lot of great like stories that come, like obviously Apatow and Leslie Mann, but that, you know, they offered that before. They first offered it to Chris Farley for that role, which I couldn't see him pulling it off. And then they offered it to Adam Sandler second.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see him doing that either. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I don't appreciate you shitting on my number three like that either.
I got to, man. I got to keep it real for the people now. I knew that too. Once you started talking in the beginning episode, I'm like, he's going to go to them old Jim Carrey.
That's my guy, man. That's gonna
be his bread and butter. Come to supper. Jim Carrey's interesting. I like Jim Carrey a lot. I respect him a lot.
He's definitely interesting.
But I'll go to my number three. I got to go with Forgetting Sarah Marshall. That's my number three. I really just talk about striping it. And just to me, from the creativity, and Jason Segel was someone I did not really think. I think he was bad, but I thought like, okay, he's a solid kind of like supporting actor. But seeing what Jason Segel did in this and just striping it, his interactions, honestly, Bill Hader was on Saturday Night Live, but Bill Hader in this movie was funny. And just the way Jason Segel played that depressed, you know, gets his heart broken. Kristen Bell was great in this. Mila Kunis was great. Even Russell Brand. I'm not the biggest Russell Brand fan, but Russell Brand was hilarious. And there's just so many people in that movie. And I thought it just kind of hit on the emotion of it so well. Like, all right, he's down and depressed. You know, the woman he's been with for so many years. And all of that, she's a famous, like, at TV actress, so he's always seeing her everywhere, and he goes to Hawaii to get away, and of course, boom, she's right next door in the nice, like, estate, like, right next door, and just the interaction is just when they're on the island, and I think it was just that funny, like, you know, you go to Hawaii to get away, and that's supposed to be paradise, but then when your hell comes to paradise, like, how that is. And just, I think it even showed to me, which I think is a good Apatow trait. Other comedies have shown this too. So I don't want to say that he invented it, but I like that in his movies of like, you know, substance over style. So, you know, you, and meaning also in relationships, like, do you go with the style, the flashy guy, or do you go with that guy who's going to be there? And maybe, you know what, nothing wrong with like, hey, that happens if you're going to be like in a rut. And maybe you kind of get too routine, fine, but then watch it when you throw that all away. You have a good person, and maybe they're kind of like, you know, status quo. They're not so spontaneous, but then you go for that spontaneous person who don't have that substance. And I think this movie kind of showed that well, but also just the humor and the supporting cast. Just there's so many people. Hard to name. Jonah Hill has such a little part in this, but stripes it in this. It's just great. So Forgetting Sarah, and it's also one of those movies, like you said, whenever it's on, I'm watching it all the time. And even like at the end when they're doing like the whole, like, you know, reenactment with like the puppets and like a Muppet whole Dracula thing, like I thought it was kind of odd, but funny and really creative and just really just well done all around. And well done, and I feel letting the actors, like, you know, we talk about in sports, like coaches letting your players play. I feel like with this movie especially, he let his guys play. Like Judd Apatow and everyone's kind of let him just be. And I thought that was important. So for me, number three, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Okay. I'm not – I'm going to go back to like some of these actors. Again, I'm not just their biggest fans, and Jason Segel's another one. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. He's just a he can be funny. Like, he can be funny, but I don't know. I'm not a big fan of his. I just think, I don't know. Like, even this movie, like, I've watched it briefly. I've watched it a long time ago. I don't even remember too many parts in it, but Bill Hader's all right. Like, some of these actors in smaller roles, I think they do a great job. You know, like Bill Hader did a great job in Superbad. I felt like it, as the cop, but I don't know. This is the one I saw on the list, and I was like, I gotta watch this a couple more times.
I'll be honest. Now, Jason Segel is not my of the guys who Apatow works with, or just comedian. He's not my number one. I think he showed a lot of range to me where I get it. I can see him. Now, not everything he does is the greatest, but I think from even him being, and I don't love this show, but How I Met Your Mother, he showed more talent. And this, to me, came out from that. Where even like him in Knocked Up wasn't bad, but that's a smaller supporting role. This, I would not, until Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I wouldn't think, if you say Jason Segel's a lead, I'd have been like, no way. This kind of showed that he does have that potential and that talent. Now, is he a leading man for me all the time? Not in my opinion, no. But, okay. Now, you coming at Bill Hader, I think, is blasphemy. Bill Hader is special, special talent, honestly. So, like, that is crazy. Bill Hader, one of the greatest SNL cast members of all time. And like you said, I think he's great in this. Hader is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And super bad with Seth Rogen. I mean, that's they
I agree some with
of the
that.
Best parts of the movie, in a movie that's so great. And Bill Hader has to me a fine career and is killing it. And even Bill Hader, you got to watch Barry. Watch Barry on HBO.
All right, so this was a perfect segue then for my number two, which is super bad.
Okay.
And again, all these movies have scenes in them that, you know, are going to stick with you, going to stick with me, but Superbad, man, it has countless scenes that it's just like, I used to just do them over and over with my friends, and like the love and chicka chicka wah, like, oh my God. Like, I love them three together, you know, Jonah Hill. I mean, this is a great movie. And you talked about Bill Hader and Seth Rogen as, you know, as the cops, and, you know, that scene with McLovin when they're just driving him around and going, doing all this dumb shit and, you know, shooting stop signs and, you know, just locking people up for fun, getting in bar fights. This is a great movie. I remember when this came out and I went to the movies to see this because I knew Jonah Hill was funny. I just couldn't wait to see it. And I remember watching it, and, you know, I went to work that Monday. I went over the weekend and watched it. And I remember my supervisor, he watched it too, and he didn't like it. And he was like, oh, I don't like it, you know, that little fat kid. Like, all he did was really, he was just yelling through the whole movie, which is true. Jonah Hill was just, like, he can barely talk. He was just yelling the whole time. Like, but that was the role, right? Yeah. That was the character, my man Seth. And it's just, you know, when he was in the party dancing with the girl and, you know, the shit on his legs, like
Blood Brothers.
Yeah, this, oh my God, man. Like, this movie was great, man. It's so many scenes that, you know, McLovin going in there with the fake ID and the dude sucker punches him and robs the store. And, you know, it's just, oh my God, man, this movie is so great, man. It just, again, it was almost my number one, but I put it down to two. And yeah, I get
it's
it.
My
I,
number
I,
one.
I can't knock that.
I think of the movies of that era of like the 2000s. And I remember I'll give credit to where I heard it. Like, Bill Simmons has his movie podcast, The Rewatchables, and he did The Hangover. Classic. The Hangover came out in 2009, and he's. And yeah, it is. And he said that The Hangover is like the last of that 2000s, of that great, like, epic era of comedy movies, like the 2000s. The Hangover caps it. And I listen to that. I'm like, I have to agree. And I think I look at, you know, from 40-year-old version, Superbad, you know, Wedding Crashers, The Hangover, Anchorman, all those great movies. I think Superbad is the best of all of them. And honestly, I think if I you give me my two from the 2000 to 2010, my two, I think they're the best comedy movies.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Gonna go with Superbad. I'm not in any order. You can flip it, but Superbad and Meet the Parents, the first Meet the Parents, are my two favorite comedy. I think they're the best comedy movies of the decade. And I think that Superbad, there's just something about it with not only does it stripe it where it has like Step Brothers kind of has, and definitely The Hangover does way better than Step Brothers,
yeah.
But has like those epic, like boom, like shock value kind of scenes or shock value kind of like moments. Superbad also has so many little like quick one-liners that is one of the best examples of you're laughing so hard at
you're missing something
that just happened. And then you miss another funny line. And then you got it like Superbad is one of those movies, like, you know, in dramas and actions or mysteries, you're like, oh, I got to watch it again to like go back and see like some clues. Comedies are, that's when I know it's special, where there's so many jokes and you're missing other things. You got to watch them again because there's so many lines. And I think Superbad, to me, better than almost any of them of that time, did that, where I can quote with you, like, we just kind of went, like, the Blood Brothers scene, I don't even know if that's, like, one of the most first quotable things. That's, like, maybe in the middle. But then I've met so many people who, like, will quote something from Superbad. Like, my friend D'Amica, when I first, you know, we worked together at, you know, my job, you know, years ago. And she's like, I love Superbad. And one of the parts that I love that I didn't think anyone else got is when Michael Cera is talking to, you know, Beth, the girl he likes. And she borrows the pencil, and then he's like, well, I'll see you later. And then he's like, he's like walking with him, so he speeds up. Bye! He, like, speeds real quick. And I thought it was hilarious, but, like, no one got, but I've never seen him talk that up and, like, bye! Or, like, when, like, Seth comes on the soccer,
kicks the
like,
ball.
Gym class to talk to him. And then he kicks the ball, and then Dave Franco's like, get off the field. And he talks up, like, you know, why'd you go wet the bed? He's like, that was in, like, fourth grade. People don't forget. Yeah. And I just like those little lines like that. Even the coach.
Yeah.
Seth. Get
and he
off
kicks the shit
field.
Out of the ball
like,
and takes off.
Dying. Yeah. And he's like, you're going to get that. No, I'm not. And he just keeps running. And just the line. I mean, even them in the cooking class. And like Michael Cera and like
Emma Stone was great in this.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, this was a
Emma Stone was.
This was a great movie. I agree. This is one of those. This is one of the top movies for me. And again, a lot of people can't stomach this because again, it's just it's a lot of like in your face, like a lot of yelling and a lot of that. But Michael Cera does a great job. Like, you know what I mean? He kind of was like the perfect, like the opposite of what Jonah Hill was. It was with Seth on this, and it was just like, and it just made like a perfect. It was like a perfect marriage, you know, and then you add, you know, McLovin into this, into that. It was just, and he just kind of like put it over the top, man. And he just, that McLovin character blew up, you know, a lot of people, that was the character a lot of people talked about from this movie, and rightfully so, because he did a great job. Like my man Fogel, he was hilarious in this, man. He's like the coolest dude in the world. He showed him the ID. He was like, McLovin. He's like, what are you, Seal? He's like, yeah, one name. Like, man, this movie is great. I can see it being number one. I don't have any beef with that.
Yeah, I think there's no movie that, like you said, it's just so quotable, and I think that's special with comedies where I can go to three groups of people and talk about like, oh, you like this movie. And we,
it's
you know,
like, totally, I agree. There's like different parts of the movie.
Yeah, it's totally opposite. And like, and I think that is why this is the most special, because it's just, I don't know. I don't think there's a scene in it where it's, I'm not rolling over laughing and dying. I mean, I would never, but Michael Cera has to sing.
And they all thought it was like his dude's brother or something. Like,
cry every night. Yeah. And they, like, force him to sing. And then, like, I've gone out And I'll be honest, I love, like, music, you know, I love, you know, like, This Is In The Zone, we bring in the past to the present, so music's in there too. I love music history. I did not know that song before Superbad, and, like, I remember, like, playing it for my mom, and my mom's like, oh, yeah, this is a famous song, but ever since, I go out for, like, karaoke, someone's blasting this song, and it's a great, the real song's a great song, but that scene's hilarious, and it's him just, like, singing it, and it's like, this weird 70s jam. And I think also that's one thing I like about it. It's kind of weird where it's like, it's set in like 2007 or whatever.
Yeah.
But just like the whole like 70s kind of vibe throughout it, it just cracks me up. Like, you know, from Joe Nowhere, like the whole like Richard Pryor shirt early on in the movie. And just, you know, when McLovin gets that confidence and then Casey and a Sunshine Band play, he tears up the whole
Even when he went and he was like, I need some clothes. And he went in his dad's closet and he just started pulling out those old big collar shirts and shit. Yeah, yeah, it was good.
So that's, I think the most epic is definitely the drawing of
the dicks. Yes, that's
the drawing of the dicks. Like, that's, and to me, I'll be honest. And this is why I think this movie's so great and it never gets old, because that's something that I'm like, that's a cheap joke. Like, go into here, that's cheap. But in the way they build it up and they show him as a kid, and then like when the teacher goes to look for it and he's trying to like eat like eat the paper, and like the music's like duh, 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 and, like that young like Jonah Hill. Oh, it's
great. This was, it's great. So I don't have any beef with it being number one for you.
So, because we kind of, your 2-1. So, what's your one?
All right, let me build it up a little bit. My one. Now, this it's my one because when I watched the movie, I watched it with my girlfriend Shannon. And obviously a lot of listeners don't know. Me and Shannon, we've been together for a long time. And this movie, like, me and her have, obviously I've talked about it on the show, like different taste in comedy, right? Like, you know, she's like a big Kevin Hart fan. I like Kevin Hart, but I'm not like, he's all right, you know? Yeah. And it's like, he a Philly guy. That's the only reason why I kind of like have love for him. But,
same,
you know, she loves him. She loves like, I don't know, wherever else. I don't pay attention too much. And, and I'm not like that. Like, she won't watch the Step Brothers with me. She won't watch the Super Bads with me. But this movie here, we watched it together, and like, we both had tears coming down our eyes. And my number one is This Is 40. Only because, again, like I don't know. I think it was just watching it with her and us relating to this movie so much. And with This Is 40, with Paul Rudd, Leslie Mann, is, you know, they're married, a married couple, and they just do in a fucking extremely great job playing like that married couple who's been together for a while. Things needed like change a little big, and they need a spark here and there, you know what I mean, to get the relationship, continue the relationship going. And, you know, even going through like, you know, when Paul Rudd was like trying to eat right and he was like sneak the donuts or whatever, like outside, like, I've done shit like that. Like, you know, like, you know, like not trying to show her that I'm not eating right. Like, I would sneak Oreos in the room and like tear them up and shit like that. Like, you know, from all the stuff, like, you know, the scenes of them getting away and like getting trashed, like, you know, like, we didn't do exactly what they did, but you know what I mean? Like, we've done that. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. You know, like the relate, like him taking a shit playing the games. Like, I remember, now not to jump off topic, but I remember watching Lethal Weapon, where Danny Glover was talking about the bathroom being his like only time in his life that he has privacy, that this is his spot. Like, and I was like, what the hell is he talking about? Lethal Weapon 2, when he almost blown up in the toilet.
Lethal,
like,
Weapon 2.
I remember him talking about that, and I was like, mm-hmm. that's dumb as shit. I get that. Like, I get it now as a 41-year-old man. Like, I told, like, that's my only private session the whole day in my house. Like, so I grab my phone, I bring all that shit in there with me, right? Literally. And when he was in there, like, playing the video games on the iPad, and, you know, she walks in and he's taking his, like, it's just, it was the most realest couple life that I like that I've seen in a long, long time in a movie. And, you know, and like I talked about earlier, Leslie Mann, I think she's hilarious. She reminds me a lot of my sister. My sister's kind of the same way, like pretty funny, but like really straight up, you know. And, you know, you had the Flyers in here. They went to the club. They met up with Scotty Hartnell and all those dudes. Like, it's a great, I don't know. Again, for me, like where I was at in life, and it's just even where I'm at today still, like it's just relationship wise, like, you know, this is a great movie to watch with your partner. It's just, and again, we related to it so much that it still speaks to me to this day. We even have it on Blu-ray, like, and I don't really buy DVDs, but we have it just in case every once in a while, like we'll order some Chinese food and, you know, pop that in or look it up first online and shit like that. Like, it's just, it just hit home for so many things. When he was laying in the bed and, like, you know, trying to show her his butthole, like, it's, for me, it was a classic movie. Just because, again, like, this, like, the backdrop when I was watching it, it was just, like, perfect. So, that's my number one.
It's on my honorable mentions, and I'll say this.
We did
our favorites, and if we were doing Judd Apatow, what are in my opinion, Judd Apatow's best movies that he's been a part of.
Yeah, my list will be different for sure.
Put this like number two. Like, this is 40. Yeah, and like as like overall movie, This Is 40, I think, is phenomenal. And I think maybe there's a couple of more recent Judd Apatows that kind of really, like, he produced that really do well. But I think, like, the Paul Rudd, Leslie Mann dynamic is phenomenal. I think the dynamic, even, like you said, as a couple, but then even as that balance, I think, where, you know, we talked about off air, I think a lot of people do, not just men and women, about, like, you know, you're older, and, you know, you think of older, you know, 40, like, just be responsible, but you still have dreams, and you're still a person, even though you're husband, even though you're father, you still, you know, you're not like, okay, all my dreams are dead. You still have that fight and that battle, and, you know, him going for it with the whole, you know, record label thing. And then even the parts to me that I like are like him trying to, like, you know, play music, and like his wife and daughters are playing totally, like, just like girly, like dance music, and just screaming, I wish one of you just had a dick, just one time, just had a dick. Like, it's just hilarious. Like, I thought that was great. And then, even like, the part that I loved was when his daughter, like, she got done watching Lost, and she's like, yeah, she binged it, and she's crying, and she's all emotional. And Paul Rudd's trying to, like, hurry her up or everything, and she's not taking it too kindly, like, that he just doesn't care. And then she takes the shot at Mad Men, and he loves Mad Men. He's like, what Don Draper had to go through? And he starts defending. And I always love that, because I'm like, you know, I kind of do that too. When people get, like, obsessed with something, I think we all do. We're like, yeah, why are you into this? That's lame. That's corny. But I take a shot at, like what I like. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, there's a reason why I love this. Like, you know, you don't come at this, but what you're liking, when really we all have things that we, you know, we're passionate about. But I just kind of like that scene. Like, you know, because I'll be honest, I'm with the daughter. I like Lost. I couldn't really get down with Mad Men. So I'm like, I would take that shot too. But it's just a really well done movie about that midlife kind of where you're at. And like you said, I think also is a great point of. Yeah. You see both sides, you know, it's not like Leslie Mann is always like, you see like she's right and Paul Rudd's wrong or vice versa, because like the whole bathroom thing, like you brought up, I totally get why Leslie Mann or anyone's spouse would be annoyed by that. Right. But I can't lie where I'm totally with like what you, like Paul Rudd and like what you said, where I just need some like time to like decompress and like, you know, like, to chill, and I'm not getting bothered to fix something or to do this or something. So, like, I think it didn't make my favorites, but I won't knock it. I think it's a great movie.
Yeah, I think for me,
I really like This Is 40.
It was the whole backdrop of when I was watching it. When I first watched, we both watched it together for the first time, and it was like you talked about it. That scene with, you know, them playing the music. I get that all the time. Like, you know, I'm in the car, if it's me, Shannon, and her son, whatever, like, you know, our editor. And, you know, if we were in the car and I'm like, oh, check this song out. And then they're like, what are you listening to? Like, this is like garbage. I'm like, what? This is Wu-Tang. Like, I have no idea. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm arguing with them and, you know, she's putting on or like fucking Rihanna or something like that.
Nicki
and
it's Minaj just like, or something.
Hey, it just drives me nuts. But, or like the scenes where like, you know, Leslie Mann is like, she's like, I'm cool. I'm hip. Like, you know, you start getting that age where it's like, you got to be responsible, but you still think you're pretty cool. Like, I love those bumper stickers. Like, I've seen them on cars a couple of times where it just says, I used to be cool. And it's like, I get that, man. Like, because, you know, I don't want to be like the cool guy anymore, right? But like, you know, I'll talk to my girlfriend's son and he thinks I'm like the biggest nerd of all time. And I'm like, no, dude, like, I used to be like super cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, and he's like, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, no, like I'm all mad. Yeah. Like, I'm serious. I'm showing him old pictures. Like he don't give a shit about that. Like, but it's like, I totally get that. Like, you know what I mean? Like in that part of the movie when she was, or when she was, you know, Megan Fox is like, and they're like talking about each other's bodies. Like, it's just funny, man. Like, and they did such a great job of just being like your average mid whatever like couple and just talking about the shit that people talk about, you know what I mean? And just like a lot of those conversations they were having in movies I've had with my girlfriend, I'm sure a lot of couples, you know, a lot of listeners of the show probably had the same conversation. I just think it was just, it was so real, but it was so funny. And like you mentioned, like it got a couple of spots where it's just like it was kind of serious, and it's just, it for me, it was just, it was a great movie, great movie.
No, it's for sure, and they were an interesting couple.
Knocked Up,
because there's a spinoff from there, and they carry you know, smart move by Judd Apatow, you know, for 5 years later to you know, see something with them, you know, and kind of use it and go all the way with it, and I think it's just even the part that I thought was really good, like serious, is like what I kind of thought is like you're in a tough spot as a couple, where she was doing like the whole like holistic like healing stuff for like the daughter, and like just using like fruits to like heal, like she had a headache, and then he's like, yeah, I just gave her a fucking Tylenol because she has a headache, like that's what you do, and like, and I'm like yeah, and I'm like, but I get it, like he technically like did it behind her back, but your child is hurting. Forget that low, like holistic, like for yourself.
I mean, because it's not behind her back, because it's his kid too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so it's like he felt like he did the right thing. And
true, exactly.
I've gone through that too. Like, and I'm not going to like, I'm not trying to put my whole life out here, but I mean, I don't listen. I would do it anyway. I don't care. Like,
no, I got you.
It's just the case sometimes. Like, sometimes as a couple, you have different opinions on how to, like, she doesn't take any medication. She's like, I don't take that shit. Not me. Like, I have a headache. I'm going to eat and take something. Like, that's just the way I am. Like, so it's funny. Like, when you see that too, like in that movie, like the arguments on how to deal with the child. Like, again, we live together. We live obviously with her son. And it's like, you know, she handles parenting totally different from how I do. And I'll jump in and I'm like, let me not. Like, you know what I mean? Like, let me just let you can do whatever you got to do. Like, it's just, it's, this movie was spot on. That's why I think it was so great, because it was, honestly, it was like spot on to like your average 40-year-old couple. Like, you know what I mean? It was spot on.
Yeah. And I think for me, it did something else that, you know, a lot of times comedy, even when it's based in reality, when you put it on either whether stand up or on a TV show or in a movie, I know we're going, but this is 40 is special in its own way, so you know, who cares, we're gonna, but it's the truth, but there's like an enhancement, you're exaggerating it, you know what I'm saying, like you're hyping it up, where in this movie I don't feel like there's any part that's like, oh, an exaggeration or like they're hype, it's just like straight real shit.
Yeah, so did I. It was well done.
I like that a lot. So not great, great choice, honestly. And it's on my honorable mentions. Like, so you know, so awesome pick with that. This one was my number two, cause my number one is super bad, but my number two is, it's a movie that kind of started it all. And it's really for Judd Apatow. Now he's produced, you know, we're naming movies that he's been a part of that he produced, but for the style that I've really come to know with Apatow, whether it's Knocked Up or This Is 40 or, you know, different movies like that, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, I have to put number two. Some would put it at one, and I would get that. And I kind of went back and forth because it is a special movie. But I put it at number two. I don't have it over Superbad. But The 40-Year-Old Virgin, from the plot line, is really relatable to me. And not that, like, you know, but it's those things. And I'd be like, all right. And I'm not knocking anyone, if, you know, whatever. If you are a 40-year-old virgin, you know.
And it will be fun when it's your time.
When it's your time, it's your time. But it's like. Exactly. So, you know, Jose and I literally say, you know, keep your head up. It's coming. But it's more. But it's more like for me, I think we all have things that, like, yeah, we're not even, you know. Whether it's you don't want to be emasculated by it and you kind of want to hide it, and a lot of things that maybe, you know, to me, it as hilarious as those parts were, I look at like Steve Carell in this, and just you see a guy who low self-esteem and
yeah,
nice guys can finish first. You know what I mean? And I like that part of it. I like the idiot friends who, really, though they have experience, they're not virgins, but really shouldn't be giving him advice. And I think that's the thing a lot of times I like. It's like a lot of times in life, especially, I don't know how it is with female relationships, but I know with guys, a lot of guys are they're quick to give advice on like serious topics. And maybe they've done it, but like they're really in no position to give you advice besides that, like, I've done this. Like, I've seen people who like bought a house.
They're real estate folks.
And then like now they're trying to act like they know it all. But yeah, but then I'm like, nah, I remember you. You didn't know what you were doing. You were having panic attacks. Your wife had to carry you through it. You were just along for the ride. But then they're seeing other guys, hey buddy, let me tell you, sit down. You know, you gotta blah blah blah. And I'm like, no, technically you did do it, but don't act like you're like this like guru now. And I think so many things, you know, I'm not a father, but I've seen other guys who are dads, and then once someone, a friend is like expecting, oh hey, let me tell you about father, and I'm like, yo, I remember you were like ready to like bail. Like, you were ready to like hit the road, like you were like, I can't do this. And I'm like, you were not like so like, that's what I like about this movie too. It's like they're trying to give him advice, but they really don't know what they're doing and they're idiots. And then so many just kind of one-liners between all these guys, and you know, from Romney Malco,
she was great. She was great.
Paul Rudd, Jane Lynch, you know, she was hilarious. I think they just do a great job. Even Leslie Mann's has a little part in this too. Like, it's just a really good, and it kind of changed how I think it's important and how it changed comedy movies, where there's heart. There's a message to it, but you still have that like slapstick, immature humor. And I think that's really important. And it made Steve Carell a star. It bumped a lot of these guys. It made Judd Apatow on the map as well. So 40-Year-Old Virgin is my number two, because just the one-liners with it, but the message of it, I think. And I think it's important. I think it's important for us to look at that. Like, and also to not judge. And also, I think he did a great job showing everyman, and he kind of kept pushing it, but he didn't just show, like, you know, Hollywood has like the Brad Pitt, the good looking guys, you know, even in comedy it's just the leads. And I like that, like, from 40-Year-Old Virgin on,
and
every average looking,
this should have made my list. I'm now that I'm looking back, because you know how we always do this to our list and to each other, like we always at the end of the show go, I should have had this on. This was on my honorable mentions, but This should have made my list, because this is another movie that has great scenes, and you're right. I like how it was like different point of views when it came to like dealing with women, right? Like from different dudes, and a lot of it is what you hear, like, yeah, from your friends. And I like that. And then him and Steve Carell trying to do all those methods and trying to be cool and then trying to do it this way. And he was just like, you know, I'm just going to do it myself. I'm going to show you my little dolls and all this shit. Like even him getting waxed, it was great. I think about that because I almost did that one time. And I was like, nah, I'm not doing that shit. Like, and it, you know what I mean? Like somebody told me, yo, that's going to hurt. And I was like, no, it's not. Yeah, I think that was just in the movie for your version. I think he was just exaggerating. Nah, I'm not doing it. But it's just, that was a classic scene. Like, it's just, you know, but then it also showed, and you talked about it a little bit, like, you know, it was some serious parts in there with him and, like, the girlfriend and having to deal with her daughter. And it was pretty cool. Like, I like that part, too. Like, him finally, like, kind of winning her over. And, you know, and that shit is hard, man. You know what I mean? Like, it's definitely hard to do something like that. But, yes, you're right. This puts Steve Carell on the map, you know. You know, he was in Liar Liar, and I love the scene in Liar Liar with Jim Carrey, and he was on TV, Steve Carell. That was a classic scene, but this kind of blew him up, man. He did a great job on this with this role.
Yeah. So, and it just is. It kind of started it off, and a lot of. I think the other movies, even on this list, are more quotable, but it. I think it kind of gets forgotten, like, how many quotable lines. Yeah. Like, after this movie came out, a lot of people were quoting different things from this. You know, now, because of that golden era, I think we've had so many other movies that people top, but this had it for a while, like, so many. But let me see, what are some of your, you said this is,
yeah, I had Knocked Up mention on there. What are some of the other, I had it on there. Not, again, it's not a terrible movie. It's not a terrible movie, but... You know, I know a lot of people love that movie. I'm just, you know, I don't look at that movie like that. Those were my two. So I wanted to ask you, and even like, I can remember watching like Celtic Pride. I thought that was pretty good, you know. And then again, like, you know, you got the Will Ferrell movies on there. I'm trying to think. Oh, I was going to ask you. Do you have any of these movies who were like big time disappointments? I have two that I thought were like big time disappointments, but I'm just curious to see, because I know you're a bigger fan than I am.
Disappointments? Or like, I just don't like them.
Just
like,
movies that you thought like, all right, like this is going to be good, like, and it just shit the bed.
I think the only one that I'll say that was a disappointment that I thought would be good and it wasn't, was Get Him to the Greek, in my opinion. Because he has movies I don't like Drill Bit Taylor, I thought was not going to be good, and it wasn't, and I didn't like it. Year One with Jack Black and Michael Cera, I thought looked stupid, and it was not good. So those are movies I didn't like, but I kind of knew, like, I'm not going to be feeling them. Get Him to the Greek, because it had Jonah Hill. Russell Brand's not my guy, but he was funny with Forgetting Sarah Marshall. But I was like, you know, give it a try. And I love.
Yeah, that was one of mine. Like I thought, you know, I love Adam Sandler. I think he's really funny, and he had a really good run with his movies. But I thought that was going to be a little better, and then I watched like 10 minutes of it, and I was like, this is going to be terrible. But That was mine. And then The King of Staten Island, I thought was going to be different. I thought it was going to be a little funnier. Yeah, and I didn't like that.
That's at all. That came out this year during quarantine. I didn't either. I thought, yeah, I was kind of, because Pete Davidson's a unique kind of talent, and he's kind of he's awkward, but I see potential in him. So I was willing to give it a try, and I love Bill Burr, Steve Buscemi's in.
Yeah,
it,
I had a different expectation of it.
It wasn't bad, but it was like, and then, whatever.
You know, watching it, like I saw the whole movie, obviously, but I just thought it was going to be something different, and I was just surprised what it actually was.
Oh, I do have one. Okay, good, because it's a great question. Probably my number one, like,
yes,
for it. Like,
yes,
as far,
I agree
like,
with
expectation.
That.
Was a Train Wreck with Amy Schumer. I thought that was such a disappointing. And I was liking Amy Schumer's stand-up. You know, I knew her, from, like, her different specials. I even liked the Inside Amy Schumer show. I liked her stand-up. And, you know, so I like Bill Hader. Saw Bill Hader in it. And then, you know, different people. And I
Yeah, so was I. I thought that was going to be really, really funny. Because I like her, too. She's crazy. I do like her stuff. And I was, I was very disappointed.
And I thought it's bad when you have all these comedians and comedic actors in it. Yeah. Like, it's, and the funniest person, the only funny person, like, really, is it's John Cena, who's a WWE superstar. And then LeBron is, like, number two. And I didn't love LeBron like that.
Yeah.
But I'm like, they're the only two, like, funny people in the movie. And I'm like, with all these comedians, I'm like, that's a real bad sign to me. Like, they're the only times I laughed in the movie were really, especially John Cena to me. I'll be honest, we our last episode was wrestling. I was not a John Cena wrestling fan before I saw him in this movie. After seeing him in this movie, I did become a fan of his because I thought he was hilarious. He's like, the only couple funny scenes in it are him. But I
I agree. That was going to be the other one I was going to bring up. Because again, I just thought she was going to be able to carry the movie, and she didn't. So
now on my honorable mentions, I have a couple, and one may not qualify, but I put it on there. So the one first one I know does qualify. Heavyweights. I think Heavyweights is it's a cult one for me. I love Heavyweights so much. I'll be honest, just the premise of it is hilarious. With the, you know, it's a Disney movie, but the, you know, the kids go to the overweight camp to try to lose weight, and then this is where I first noticed Ben Stiller. Ben Stiller coming in as Tony, you know, Perkis, like owning the he buys out the camp and kind of like tortures the kids, and the kids kind of like rally back. But I just think there's so many funny one line. Kenan Thompson's in it, but so many just great one lines in it. And Ben Stiller just stripes it. And that's when I first really noticed Ben Stiller was through Heavyweights, and it's kind of grown to have a cult following. So Heavyweights, honorable mention for me. And then a documentary he did, I feel like it was either 2018 or 2019, but the Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling.
I haven't seen HBO, that, but I did. I have read some good reviews on that. He did a Doc and Daryl. I really enjoyed that one. That documentary, 30 for 30. And then another movie that I liked, but it was kind of weird, was Walk Hard. Dewey Cox, it was weird. I enjoyed it because it had some crazy scenes. But it has some, like, the couple of lines.
Really,
like,
crazy.
It has some lines that I would never forget. But I thought that was going to be a little bit better, because at that point, you know, I just thought it was going to be better. And it was good. But again, this is one of those, I think I put it too much of an expectation on it, and it didn't pan out for me. But
I agree. Oh yeah, I agree. But I think John C. Reilly does have some funny, some great moments in it. But it's weird, and I think you're right. The expectation, it did not come close to meeting it. But it's one of those. And that's where I'm at. I feel like Walk Hard is in that Step Brothers kind of, like, they're in the same kind of class for me of, like, those scenes. There's some great scenes, but as a movie, it's kind of, like, a little odd and, like, a little too much. But, yeah, like, there are some, like,
he's great.
Like, I mean, in Walk Hard, John C. Reilly's great. Tim Meadows, like, his little parts, like, cracks me up. But it's, like, it's just too much, kind of. And that's where I kind of feel like they're both similar.
This was a tough list, though. Like,
I'm with you.
I knew the movies. The order was really hard. But he's got some great movies on his resume, man. Like, some really great movies. Yeah.
And even, you know, with TV shows, you know, people, and that's where it's kind of hard for me. People love, like, Freaks. It all starts when you look at it for TV, Freaks and Geeks. Now, I think, I remember watching Freaks and Geeks when it came on, and I thought it was definitely different. And much respect, I don't think it should have been canceled. But I really do feel like now people are calling it one of the greatest comedies ever. It lasts like 18 episodes. And I'm like, you're only saying that because all these people are big stars now. I don't think Freaks and Geeks is a legendary comedy, but it was, you can see it was trend setting and it should have gotten more of a chance. It was definitely different than what you saw at that time. But with Freaks and Geeks, and I like Undeclared, like, too, as well. But
I used to like The Critic.
He was a part of Girls.
I did.
Which was on HBO with Lena Dunham. I like The Critic. I did. The Critic wasn't bad at all.
Yeah, it was on for a long time.
Very underrated. Yeah, I think The Critic's very underrated. Yeah. He worked on Larry Sanders Show, which is a classic, that with Gary Shandling. That's great. And he worked on Roseanne. But The Critic is very good. And then he did Girls.
I'll say one thing about it. I've never watched it.
So. I don't know what to say about Girls, honestly. I did give it a try because, you know, it was a popular show when it came out and people were talking about it. And I was working with majority women. And so I was like, all right, to keep up. And I'm like, all right, I'm trying to see. I don't know. It kind of just fell off for me. He did Love, which is on HBO. I think Love is actually very good. And he does Crashing with Pete Holmes, which is really good, too. So he's kind of has it. He's TV, documentary, motion pictures. He's really expanding it out there.
Yeah, and it's good to look up some of these movies. Like, now I want to watch some of them. Fun. You know, this is 40. I might have to pop that in tonight or tomorrow night. I haven't watched it in a while, but that's one of my favorite movies.
Oh, it's great. And that's one, like I said, like if this was a best list, to me, there's no way you can keep it off. Like this, it's a really, which I honestly, I don't think it gets talked about.
And the girls on the show, I mean, on the movie, those were his kids, right?
It's a really good movie. So
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the same as in Knocked Up. Those are him. I forgot and they were in Knocked Up. Yeah, that's right. Real two daughters.
Yeah.
And they're much younger. That's why it's kind of crazy to see him older because they're so little and Knocked Up.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a hell of a career. And I tell people he's a great listen on podcast. You know, you type in he'll break down the comedy. Like the step by step of it, he does a great job of that, which I love. Even him on, you know, Jerry Seinfeld show on Netflix.
I didn't know he was on there. I'm gonna have to check that out.
He's a great guest there. He was on it. He was on it. It was really good, really good. And I tell people also, like, if you are a reader, read Sick in the Head. It's a great book. It, I know comedians have said it kind of helped them jumpstart their like stand up careers because it's like it's a combo. You know, he was, like I said at the beginning of the show, he was podcasting before podcasting, and it's a mix of his interviews from back in the early 80s to he then interviewed people like, you know, around like today's time, and it has a mix of different interviews with different like comedic legends and
yeah, I'm sure you can learn process. A lot from that, especially like
so
these comedians
that's a,
coming
that's
up
a great
now,
book as well. So
yeah, I'm sure it's great.
It was, yeah, I got it for a Christmas gift a few years ago. I really enjoyed it. It was awesome. So it's a lot. It's a lot to take in with Judd Apatow. But if you, disagree with one of them, I think we kind of came together a bit more on this one than Will Ferrell. What do you think?
These movies were great. I talked about my love for Will Ferrell. So I don't know, you know, if too many people could top that. But this is the difference. I feel like it's just the variety, you know what I mean? And how it's like real life stuff, but looking through the eyes of, you know, like a comedic lens, you know, and which I love, you know, and And I also like that it's like the same actors and actresses, but in different roles. And you talked about, you know, showing versatility. Like they do that in all these different movies. And I love when directors do that. Cause I think that's pretty cool to see them in other, like you'll see one actor in a smaller role than another movie. You'll see them. They have a bigger role. I think that's pretty cool when directors do that, producers do that.
I think so too. I think that's one thing I can see that he's done, and he's talked about it, but not in a bragging way, but he's mentored a lot of people. And he said, you know, Gary Shandling did that for him, the late great. And you see what, like, we meant Seth Rogen, Jason Segel, Lena Dunham. He's Amy Poehler, even, you know, he's mentored a lot of up and coming comedic minds and helped them really express their, you know, their art. So, you know, kudos to
them. Yeah, I need another. This is 40.
keeps, you know, coming up with the good stuff here. That, yeah, honestly, I think, yeah, I think he tried it with the Funny People movie. That's when I kind of was like iffy on. You should give it I'll see if Adam, well, Seth Rogen's in it, so I don't know how you feel.
But I gotta check it out. I'll check it out. That's fine.
And Leslie Mann's in it too. Yeah, so a lot of people, but it's an interesting kind of movie. I feel like that was like him trying to do This Is 40 again in a way, but different. But
so if you think it's so-so, I'm probably not going to like it.
So-so.
All right, I'll check it out. I'll do that.
I want to hear your opinion. I want to hear your opinion on it. You know, there's a lot of people in it. A lot of people in it. You know, so you may. Because it does go through the This Is 40, like, it's serious, you know, real life stuff in a comedic, through a comedic lens lots of times. So it has that, like, theme, like, This Is 40, like, really big time. But I don't think it's anywhere we'll as see. Good as This Is 40, in my opinion. But, you know, you may say different. So we'll see. But, yeah, shout out to Jonah Apatow. He always fascinates me because, like I said at the beginning, you know, for the past 30 years, he's been a part of some of, like, anything, like, big in comedy. He's kind of seems like he's been around it, and that's really, like, behind the scenes, and that's really fascinating to me. So, please, if you have anything you want to suggest, and if you agree or disagree, hit us up on Twitter at InTheZone20201. That's at InTheZone20201. We're going to keep coming out with some fresh content for you guys. Yeah,
some exciting episodes coming up. I know, like you said, I'm excited too. But yeah, let us know what you think. If you disagree or agree with my list, Jeremy's list, let us know. And again, if you have any ideas for a show, yeah, just let us know. We'll think about it. We'll throw it in the notebook and see what we can do with that.
Absolutely. So thank you guys for listening to In the Zone.
Peace.